Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The focus for our message this morning is taken from the epistle reading for today. It's that section, just seven verses from Paul's letter to the Colossians, the third chapter. So in these verses, Paul gives a lot of instructions, he spends a lot of time talking about what it is that we do as Christians, how we're to behave and interact with one another. He says, put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, put on compassion and kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against one another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you. But near the end of those verses, Paul also talks about something that is central to what we do every time that we gather together. And it's singing. He's talking about the music of the church. He says, and be thankful, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. When we talk about the gospel, it's the verbs and the nouns that get a lot of traction. It's impossible to talk about the gospel without verbs and the nouns. It's God who redeems, and it's we who follow. It's God who calls us, we repent, and God forgives. But this morning, as we talk about this section of verses from Paul's letter to Colossians and the music that we sing, I want to focus on the prepositions, those smaller, oftentimes forgotten words that connect those more seemingly more powerful words. Now, if you remember with horror the days of when you had to diagram sentences, I apologize. But prepositions, those are those little words like in and of and with and under. Those are what I'm talking about. And what I mean by all of this is you can look at this verse from Colossians 3. It's verse 16 where Paul says, teaching that we should teach and admonish one another in all wisdom, singing songs, hymns, and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. You can look at that verse and paraphrase it in another way. Sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God about Christ and for one another. So when we think about why it is that we sing every week that we gather together, every time that we gather together, it's those three things and those prepositions that'll be the focus of our message this morning. We sing to God, we sing about Christ, and we sing for one another. It goes without saying that Christianity, it's a musical religion. Singing has been at the heart of our faith from the very beginning. The scriptures are just packed full of the songs of the people of God throughout the centuries. We've even got a whole book of the Bible, the book of Psalms, which is dedicated to the music. It's the hymn book of ancient Israel. And when you read through the scriptures, you see the people of God singing. Moses sang. Miriam sang. King David sang and wrote many of the psalms that are recorded in that book. Solomon sang and wrote songs. Mary, Jesus' mother, sang. Elizabeth, her relatives, sang. Jesus sang. Paul and the apostles sang. The early church sang. And the church, from the beginning on down to today, has been a singing and a musical church. And when you think about it, it makes a certain sense because this powerful word of God that does so many great and wonderful things in our lives, singing helps connect that in a way that just speaking God's word maybe doesn't. And what I mean by that is singing, if you ever tried to memorize something, you probably realize that it's easier to memorize something when it's set to song. You know, you get that song stuck in your head and you just can't help it. Maybe it drives you crazy. But there's the positive aspect of that as well. Music settles the word of God in our souls. This is why even in our old age when we've forgotten so many other things, when we start to hear familiar songs or hymns, we can sing along. Whether it's Jesus loves me, this I know, or go tell it on a mountain, or angels we have heard on high. Those songs and the word of God in them, they get stuck in our heads and in our hearts. And Paul, the apostle, as he was writing those letters to the churches, There's a lot that he wrote about the things that we should do as Christians that sometimes are hard to understand, that sometimes they're hard for us to carry out. But what Paul says here in Colossians 3:16 about how we are to sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, that's easy. It should be easy for us. And so we sing these psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. We sing them to God, about Christ, and for one another. So that first preposition, to, we sing our songs to God. When we gather to sing, whether it's as a congregation or as a choir or whether it's our soloists, those songs are directed to Him. When we gather together, this is a congregation of the people of God. It's not an audience. And so whether the songs are being sung by you in the congregation or they're sung in the choir or they're soloists, they're not sung to the people, sitting next to you. They're not sung to your parents or your grandparents. They're not sung to the congregation. They're sung to God. They're offerings to God. In the same way that when we pass the offering plate and we think of money or the physical things that we give to God's church as offerings to God, in the same way that our prayers are offered up to God, so too our music is offered up to God as well. And I know there are probably at least a few people out there who are thinking to themselves, I like to listen to music, but I just don't have a great voice. And because of that, I don't maybe like to sing. Well, I've got news for you. Your singing is not for those people in the pews around you. So if you've got at least what you consider to be the worst voice imaginable and you don't want to foist that on the people around you, all I can say to you this morning is don't worry about the people around you. Your songs are sung to God. God gave you your voice. Use it. If you can read, you can sing. And as I've learned with my young children, even before you can read, you can sing. Because you learn those songs and they become part of you. So we sing first and foremost as a congregation, we sing to God. But that second preposition, we sing about someone in particular. We sing about Christ. As humans, God has created us with a propensity to sing and to make music, and we do. We sing about literally everything under the sun. We sing about the people we love. We sing about the people that we hate. We sing about peace and joy and anger and depression. We make songs and music about everything under the sun. But when we gather together as God's people here, the center of every one of our hymns and songs is Jesus Christ. We sing about Him. We don't sing just to make ourselves feel better. We don't sing just to remember the great words that people long dead once spoke. We're singing about Jesus Christ, the one who was proclaimed at his birth to be Emmanuel, God with us, the one who lived and died and lives again. We sing remembering that God has done great and powerful things, not just in the past, but in our lives. It's because of Christ we can look forward to the future with hope, even in the midst of some of our darkest days. We're caught in the midst of grief because of Christ. We can look past that and grieve not as others do who have no hope, but as those who place their trust in Christ. We can, because of Christ, look back at our past, at even the worst sins we've committed, the greatest mistakes, and not be caught in depression over those things, but understand and know that no matter how great our sin is, God's love for us in Christ is greater. And we can sing for joy. And we do every time we gather together. As a congregation, we're in the midst of one of the greatest singing seasons of the church year, Christmas. I had the privilege to be here for the 3 o'clock and the 7 o'clock service just a few days before Pastor Mark was here for the 11. And one of the things I love about that service, and I'm sure one of the greatest things most people love about the Christmas Eve service, is the music. Singing those familiar Christmas songs and hearing them sung by everybody in the congregation. And I love it. At the 7 o'clock service, we ended with Silent Night, sang in a cappella, the last verse. I love to be surrounded with the songs of the people of God. So we sing to God, we sing about Christ, but we sing for one another. Now, I mentioned at the beginning that you're not singing to the people sitting around you in the pew, and that's true. You're not singing to them. But in this sense, you are singing for them. See, when we gather together as the people of God, you may never know the spiritual trauma that sits next to you in the pew. You might not know what desperate prayers are being lifted up by the person two pews in front of you or three pews behind you. You don't know what defeats are being remembered or what sadness has settled in someone's soul. And so, when you sing, those words that you're singing, whether they're new hymns or they're ancient ones, those words that you're singing of hope and grace and mercy and peace and forgiveness, those words of God that are on your lips, they're being heard by the people around you. And you don't know, that might be just the thing that person sitting next to you in the pew needs to hear. And I love this verse from the book of Hebrews that talks about why it is we gather together as the people of God. He writes, "Let us not give up meeting together as is the habit of some, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as we see the day of Christ's return approaching." Your faith, it's not just about you and God. Christianity is not this isolated faith. It's a congregation. It's a community. And so when you sing, yes, you are singing to God and to Him alone. You're singing about Christ, but you are singing for one another. Because there are plenty of times that happen in our lives where we're overcome and we find ourselves unable to sing, whether it's overcome with grief or fear or sadness or maybe joy, where because of those things you can't sing, but the people around you can. And hearing God's word sung can make a world of difference. I know this because just about a year and a half ago, it was on a Monday night and Monday evening, and Gabby had fallen off some bleachers, and Jamie had to take her along with the other kids to the ER to get her checked out, and she was fine. But I led the Monday night service here, and that hour that I was in service was probably one of the longest hours I had. I was doing what every parent would do in that situation, wondering if she was going to be okay, wondering how long she would have to be in the hospital, wondering if everything was going to be all right. It was hard to sing that night. But it was an amazing encouragement to be surrounded by the people of God here and to hear these words of grace and mercy and hope and forgiveness and peace being sung, even when I found it difficult. So I love to be a part of a congregation like this, a congregation of people that sing and make music to God about Christ and for one another. Because as we do that, we're hearing and speaking God's words of love and peace and joy and hope. So my prayer is you keep that in mind as we go through the rest of this Christmas season. We sing these very familiar and favorite Christmas carols, and throughout the rest of the church year, as we sing the praises of God, as the people of God. In Jesus' name, amen.